Frank.
Malachy, there's a lot of goodwill being aimed towards Martin McGuinness overnight and into tomorrow. Serious, serious goodwill. Is that down to genuine feeling from politicians across the board, or is there an additional sympathy because the man is genuinely ill?
It would be hard to separate out the two. I think when you see how weakened he is, you know, and you hear the weakness in his voice, you do feel a compassion for him. And I think that is part of it. I think in the case of Ian Junior, well, there's two ways of reading that. One is certainly that Martin McGuinness had a friendship with his father and even with his mother, apparently. And I think perhaps if Ian had come on the programme last night that he was on, and if he had dissed Martin McGuinness, he might have had to go back to Eileen and get a clout in the ear for doing it. You know, but...
To be clear on that, he was on The View last night.
That's right, yes.
And he was full of praise. He said, "I want to say thank you. It's important that we actually do reflect on the fact that we would not be where we are in Northern Ireland in terms of having stability, peace and the opportunity to rebuild our country were it not for the work he put in, especially with my father at the beginning of this long journey." Those aren't the words that you would have expected from Junior many years ago.
No, they aren't. As his father's behaviour isn't the behaviour you would have expected. So what Ian Junior is saying is he's saying there's a legacy from my father and from Martin McGuinness which has been lost because that what he called that foundational work of reconciliation is not being done anymore. And therefore, in a sense, he was implying a criticism of the current leadership of the DUP. And immediately there was a buzz of activity on Twitter suggesting that this was Ian Junior pitching for the leadership of the DUP, which it might have been, but it looked like genuine sympathy for the man. And I think that's there. But I also think... You know, that there are things that are being said that are hard for victims to hear. You know, people are saying, Martin has said, for instance, that he has no regrets. He said yesterday in one of the interviews he had no regrets about having been in the IRA, that he was proud of the Republican movement. I think, you know, there are people, from the victim sector saying, no, this isn't on, you know, really, you know, we're going over the top in our praise of Martin McGuinness and we're forgetting the damage that he has done. And, that is a voice that has to be heard as well.
I'm just looking at Ruth Dudley Edwards, a pretty dissenting voice in the Belfast Telegraph, because it is difficult to find dissenting voices. I have to say, I'm glancing at the Prime Minister, James Brokenshire, obviously Gerry Adams, even Arlene Foster, valuing the good things that were achieved, Mike Nesbitt, Colm Eastwood, obviously people who are of a nationalist persuasion or even the Alliance Party, no surprise that they would be probably giving him the thumbs up on his exit. Ruth Dudley Edwards, who never sort of shoots and misses, so to speak, he's saying, "Stop talking rubbish, Martin, and try saying sorry instead." That's very much on behalf of those who suffered at the hands of the IRA.
Yeah. But there is, there is some merit in the custom that when somebody's down, you show a bit of sympathy. You know, there is some merit in that. And, I've seen many times in the past where there's been a tragic or a sad event, you know, where you just hold back for a day. You know, if somebody, Martin McGuinness is in a very difficult position. He has given up a job that he's obviously hugely committed to. I've heard other Republicans say that you couldn't get him to go home at night, you know, because he was so busy working, because he was so attached to it all. And there was a personal loss for him in having to give up this job, in recognising, he's the same age as me, and he's recognising that he's unwell and that it will be a struggle, to come back from this, just to regain his normal health. So I think there is merit in that custom where you just hold back from giving a guy a slap, when he's down, and save that a day, and maybe that would have been the right thing to do. But at the same time, I'm reading Anne Travers, for instance, on Facebook this morning, and she's saying very plainly what we all know, which is that Martin McGuinness does know, does have information that would help victims to identify the killers of their loved ones. Martin was right there in the heart of the thing, and he was at the top of the IRA, and therefore he could be more open about about things that have happened, and he could bring some solace, and he could at least have said, you know, yesterday when asked, that he has some regret, you know, and he didn't. He wants to be a proud IRA man to the end, and that's sad. That's a pity. I think what.
But he's always playing. He would always ultimately be playing to the Republican audience.
Well, except you know that's not what. That's not what Ian Paisley did last night. You know, Ian Paisley will have taken a hit within the DUP audience for saying what he said. And, I mean, people are always saying, you know, and it's trite all the same, but there's something in it that we need to, you know, reach out to each other and mend relationships. And, you know, somebody in the Republican movement might have come back to Ian Paisley and reciprocated that generosity with something similar, which might be at least an acknowledgement that harm was done, that bad decisions were made, that atrocious violence was visited unnecessarily on this community. I don't expect an IRA man to say, look, I'm sorry I was in the IRA and I was wrong all along, although some have, you know, but I don't expect anyone in the leadership of Sinn Féin to say that. But he might have said, you know, at this time we are, you know, we do understand that there are many people in this community who will not forgive the IRA, and we accept that and we can live with that.
When he was asked about it, he did say that he felt justified in what he did, and he reminded us of atrocities carried out by the RUC in Derry, and he reminded us of what the Paras did in Derry. He was justifying the action that he took. He did say he wasn't doing it on behalf of the majority of people in Derry, but he felt there was a significant number of people in Derry who felt that action had to be taken. That's how he justified it when he was asked the question.
And that was interesting that he acknowledged that the majority of people in Derry would have been against that, you know, as the majority of the nationalist community was always against the IRA. I think that was something that he acknowledged that.
And Peter Robinson is also praying for him as well. So there's a significant amount of people being positive about him. And yes, it has to be given some consideration, his state of health at this present moment in time. And we have, as you say, that tradition of always having sympathy for people who are facing a challenge, and he is certainly facing a challenge at present. Looking at the front of the Telegraph, they're really going to town on the challenge being faced by Sinn Féin. Is there as much angst in Sinn Féin as the Telegraph suggesting this morning between the two people who would like to be Deputy First Minister if Sinn Féin's the biggest party next time round, Michelle O'Neill and Conor Murphy?
I suspect so. I mean, I get a sense of that. You know, I get a sense that you know, Michelle O'Neill is coming through as the appointment of the previous leadership, and that you know that is not really how things should happen within a political party. I think there, you know, there should be more of a discussion within a party. There should be the opportunity for people who want to put themselves forward to do that. All right, it'll be done within the private deliberations of the party. But I do think, you know, many would say that Conor Murphy is a much stronger candidate in that he has the ability. Right, he has the IRA passed. He has had other difficulties in his position. But, for instance, Conor Murphy worked closely alongside Arlene Foster, you know, in when she was in environment and he was in, was it regional development, you know, in the DOE building down in Adelaide Street beside St. Malachy's. You know, so there's a relationship established there that could have been developed on. There is, there's just an experience and a weight within Conor Murphy that is not there with Michelle O'Neill. And I would have thought sensibly that Michelle's turn had yet to come, and that Conor Murphy was a much better qualified candidate. And I just think that, you know, if Michelle O'Neill takes this job not strictly on merit, but simply because Gerry Adams wanted to keep Conor Murphy out of it, or whatever way this is working, then I would think that was that would be an unfortunate stain on her reputation at this particular time. So I would have thought, you know, and what do I know? I'm not a member of Sinn Féin, and I'm not in their cloisters or listening to their deliberations. But I'm hearing intimations of that, that it's an anointing by the previous leadership. And that's not really how these things should go.
But do you reckon they're being fully truthful when they say there was enough being announced yesterday without announcing who the next deputy first minister might be if Sinn Féin's the biggest nationalist party. Do you think is that to get two news headlines, or is it because there's division in the ranks?
No, I think that's news management. That's just news management. But I would think that even there must be something of a struggle there. There must be people who would rather have the job themselves and let others simply get it by anointing. And therefore, I think that will have its outworking. So maybe it's not done and dusted yet, in other words. But I think primarily the feeling was, it's news management. You provide the headline for the day, and if you've got another one on hold, you save it for a few days.
Because you can't beat that on the run up to an election.
And who's better at it, than Sinn Féin? I mean, they are a disciplined party. They keep their cards tight, and they manage their news well. And they slip up when Gerry tweets something silly, but all in all, they know how to pace the news. And they've had people like Richard McCauley and Ted Hiles and other, people who just have the sense of getting the best value out of the political moves that you make.